Opinionated Marketers,
a podcast from Cambridge Marketing College.
Hello and welcome to Opinionated Marketers with Charles Nixon and Kieran Kapoor. Today we're going to be talking about responsible marketing in a time where there is quite a lot of consumer panic going on. Charles, before we started talking, I was whinging about the fact I couldn't fill my car up and you were suggesting that maybe I just didn't need to fill my car up. Can we do a bit of a history lesson? Because there's been an awful lot of talk about the Winter of Discontent, which I think was 1979. And I think, in fact, you were referring there was an earlier crisis in 1974. Can we do a sort of history background?
OK, I'll do my best. Essentially speaking, during the 70s, there was a considerable tussle between what you might call organised labour and the government for basically who controlled the economy. There was a lot of discussion between nationalisation and privatisation, which eventually emerged in the period of 1979 and the arrival of the Thatcher government. So in 1974, there was famously two elections. And in the meantime, Edward Heath tried to basically assert control over the economy, the result of which was there was a strike by various unions, which resulted in rolling power cuts. And many people of my age and younger can remember actually doing their revision with candles as they prepared for their exams, and even in some instances possibly eating their meal in front of a gas-fired cooker, because that was the only power that you had left in the house. And at the same time, there was also petrol rationing. And I still have my ration books for my car, which I quite often notice when I'm looking through the archives, because it's quite an interesting thing to consider that we actually did very quickly cut to the point of actually rationing petrol. We're not in that situation at the moment. The Winter of Discontent was a culmination of various industrial disputes. Probably the most graphic one was being the refuse workers. So therefore, there was refuse and dustbins on the street, and it just piled up. That, I don't think, is again what we're looking for here. That was a series of disputes. Here the issue perhaps is what you is being referred to as a perfect storm of economic problems, and much of it is not just UK based. It is European wide, and indeed possibly even Western economy wide. So there's a shortage of truck drivers in Europe and in America. There's a shortage of people in certain job sectors worldwide, as people have moved during the pandemic from what were jobs that they thought that they needed to do to what were now probably more humanistic jobs, as it were. So you weren't having to work in bad working conditions. You weren't having to stay away from home, sleep in a cab, whatever it happens to be. People realised that they didn't have to do the job that they had got themselves into. So we are in what you would probably see as a fairly fundamental shift of economic power in terms of individuals now voting with their feet as to which jobs they might prefer, and certain sectors realizing that actually the working practices that they had, a bit like your boiled frog, as it were, as the water changes, it doesn't notice. So we've just got to the point at which, you know, we have, I say we, but the economy has sweated its assets without too much concern about health and well-being, I think is the best phrase. And people have now decided they don't want to do some of those jobs and find that perhaps working in the checkouts at Aldi is much more pleasant and probably as lucrative. So we are seeing a lot of change in that respect. Where that brings us to controlling of people's desires is an interesting one, because it becomes a psychological issue of marketing.
I think there's also an interesting element. What kicked off this discussion was an article on the BBC website, How to Control a Consumer Panic. And in amongst a lot of discussion about whether the media has whipped this up, which is possible, they make a very interesting point about the fact that we've moved to just-in-time systems in a lot of industries, from supermarkets to fuel depots onwards. And the problem is just-in-time only works if there is trust in that system.
And
as soon
time.
As consumers in particular start feeling like they don't trust that there's going to be petrol, they immediately start going, oh, well, I'll just top up. And that's fine until it's done on a mass scale. And then people like me who really are in the red sector and are driving on fumes actually can't get through to top up. Or people that are working in care roles or frontline staff, again, can't top up, therefore can't get to work. And you do end up creating this domino effect. So there is an element of marketing, both in messaging to consumers that things are under control. And it's no good, I feel, government or marketers sitting around going, there is no fuel crisis if I am unable to get around my local roundabout because people are queuing to get onto the forecourt. The evidence of one's eyes is overcoming what you are being told by the authorities.
There is a very good point there, because basically you quite often will read things in the newspapers, believe them to be true, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. The media in most instances tends to feed these things. Your article you're referring to has got a very nice picture outside of the queue outside Northern Rock. And the easiest way to create a run on a bank is to talk about a run on a bank. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And the reality, which in one respect is that there is no shortage of petrol because the refineries are working. It's just the delivery aspect, which means that the petrol station that's empty today will probably be full in a few days' time when the next tanker comes down, but you've just got to wait. And we have got to a situation, because of the nature of the way things have been marketed over many years, is that, and indeed today, that we want an instant gratification society. You see now deliveries are being targeted as, you know, get it within 40 minutes, get it within the hour, when there is actually no need for that. I heard someone the other day talking about the fact that they prefer to live in a city, whereas they could, you know, they could get hold of whatever groceries they wanted, or they could get a takeaway within 40 minutes. Whereas if they lived in the countryside, you know, they might have to actually go outside and buy it. It does sound daft when you put it like that, but we have created a society which wants close to instant gratification. Therefore, if I cannot go now and get my fuel, even if I don't want it, I have got such a hormonal surge that I feel panicky. And I do think that we have to think clearly about how we go about marketing our messages. Even when we talk about the fact that, you know, there may not be a problem with Christmas, but the fact that we say that there may not be automatically starts to make people think that there might be a problem.
But there's also an element of social media. And there, here I think the BBC is possibly doing a bit of special pleading, where they're saying actually the media is being blamed, but we've actually been very responsible about it. But people are still seeing images on social media. The idea of citizens' journalism and citizens' peer-to-peer marketing, maybe peer-to-peer discussion, is something that we as marketers encourage. We love peer-to-peer reviews, especially if they're good ones or honest ones, because we learn a huge amount from them. So we encourage that. But inevitably, if my social media feed is full of people at petrol stations, and again, my evidence in my eyes at my roundabout tells me that people are queuing at petrol stations, it doesn't really matter if responsible media, in inverted commas, is trying to tell me that everything's fine, because I'm not going to believe that.
Yes, that's not my point. My point is the fact that you now feel you must go out and get petrol, even if you don't need it. And I'm not saying you don't at the moment, because you say that you do. But the point is, we have just gone through 18 months where most people can work from home. And most people have been working from home, and quite a good proportion of people prefer to work from home. So the actual demand for petrol has declined. So the panic situation that we've now induced is one which has been message induced rather than reality induced. There is, as I would see it, you know, the situation that we are now feared that there may be shortages, therefore we take action to mitigate those, even though the shortages may not turn up. And even if they do turn up, are they relevant to us? And that's where social media, and indeed the media, tends to feed our more base instincts.
Okay, so from a marketing perspective, what do marketers, how do we respond to this? For a start, I suspect we both feel that whipping up the idea that there may be shortages at Christmas time is actually not necessarily a sensible way of marketing.
No, I don't think it is, because I don't think you'll get any credit for it. You'll probably be put down as a company that feels that customers feel that you fueled the demand, because if they go out there and buy stuff and then there isn't, and there's plenty of it. So if you've got your turkey in the fridge now, and when you go out, you know, towards Christmas time, there are plenty of turkeys and possibly even better turkeys. And indeed, there may even be cheaper turkeys because people have bought them in advance and now they've got to try and sell the rest of them. You would feel aggrieved. So I think at all times, it needs a sensible approach as to what to say, and quite often sometimes not to say anything. And that's probably the hardest thing for a marketer. You know, if you have no comment to make on the subject, don't make one.
Now, that is a radical thought that I think we should finish this Opinionated Marketers on. It's great in a podcast to be saying, if you have no comment, make no comment. But I think I do actually agree with you, Charles. Thank you very much for listening, and catch you all next week.
Thank you.
Like and subscribe to this feed for more podcast content
from Cambridge Marketing College.